wiggle your eyes, wiggle your will. Won't you wiggle up the river? Won't you wiggle up the stream? Won't you wiggle to a cool pool, chilling, waiting for the rain? Wait for the rain. Delta to the sea to survive, through the delta to the sea to survive. Won't you wiggle your tail? Won't you wiggle your gills? Won't you wiggle your fins? Wiggle your eyes, wiggle your will. Won't you wiggle up the river? Won't you wiggle up the stream? Won't you wiggle to a cool pool, chilly, wait for rain, wait for rain.
And that was Jim Brobeck with the song Wiggle. And you're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Ron Topi, and this is your North State Water Report. The North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And by Butte College, announcing their summer class schedule. Knock out a general ed class or pursue the skill you need to jumpstart your career by taking classes at the Butte College, Glenn Center, Chico Center, Main Campus, or online. Summer sessions begin June 12th. Visit butte.edu/start and make this summer all about putting the heat on your success. Like I said, this is your monthly North State Water Report, and my name is Ron Topi. On Monday, I was at a historic event on the McLeod River. Winnemem and Wintu leader Colleen Sisk, California Department of Fish and Wildlife Director Chuck Bonham, and NOAA Fisheries Assistant Regional Administrator Kathy Marcinkiewicz signed a co-stewardship agreement to return winter run Chinook salmon to their original spawning areas in the Coldwater Mountain River, of Mount Shasta. What makes this such a historic event is that the Winnemem and Wintu are the first federally recognized tribe to enter into such an agreement with the federal agency. This is also the first time that salmon have been reintroduced up above a major rim dam. Last summer, there was a pilot project on the river when the two agencies and the tribe incubated eyed salmon eggs on the river and released the juvenile fish into the wild. With this agreement comes grant funding to the tribe to begin establishing a tribal fisheries program. With me tonight on tonight's show is independent investigative journalist Dan Bakker, one of the journalists present Monday, and someone who has been covering the tribe's journey to return the salmon to their river for decades. We'll be talking about this historic event, as well as what this could mean to the future of a struggling California salmon fishery. I'll also have on the show tonight Regina Chiquizola, Executive Director of Save California Salmon, a Northern California tribal-led advocacy and educational nonprofit dedicated to policy change for Northern California salmon and fish-dependent tribes. We'll be talking about another historic agreement for tribes along the Klamath River as they start the process of removing dams along the river. On March 10th, they officially broke ground to begin the removal of the first of four dams to be removed between 2023 and 2024. And now we're going to listen to another song by Ian Carrick. It's called "Will the Salmon Come Home?" while I get my first guest on the phone.
Chinook runs used to fill the streams till you could walk across. Guthrie sang for Grand Coulee, but did not feel the loss. Today those streams run empty of the wild fish they love. Orca mamas hungry cannot feed their young. Will the salmon come home against the fish with elevators hasn't brought them back. Taxpayers, we've all paid to keep these dams alive. For 50 years, Ned's purse have prayed our brother won't survive this. Will the salmon come home against the odds? Salilo fed 10,000 years of people, now it's gone. The fish came back a week after the Awa Dam came down. $1 billion band-aid won't make a heart unbound. Songwriter mired in the past, but when our cities flood with water, which legacy will last? Bureaucracy too full of fear to address a mistake, or ancient rivers running clear, how my young heart aches. Will the salmon come against the odds, waters warm? Will the salmon come home when I'm old, dead and gone?
What if you could?
Okay, we're back. That was Ian Carrick with Will the Salmon Come Home? And I have Dan on the phone. Dan, are you there?
I sure am.
All right. Welcome back to the show. It's been a few months since you've been on.
Yeah. Glad to be back on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Great to have you. What a day, Monday, huh?
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah, there's quite a bit to talk about there, but first let's start with what it felt like for you being there. I know for me it was pretty powerful, and but you've been covering California salmon fisheries for decades.
Yeah, for 40 years.
Right. And having covered this journey for the Winnemem too to this point, it must have felt pretty incredible being there.
Yeah, it felt real incredible that it's actually signing an agreement, and we're seeing that happen between the state and the federal governments to restore the salmon to the rivers above Shasta Dam. And that's one of the key things we need to do to bring them back. But, you know, I reflected on when did we get the winter run Chinook listed. My boss and I, we spent many, many hours writing articles and going to meetings testifying for the listing of the winter run Chinook salmon back in 1989. And it finally got listed by the California Fish and Game Commission on May 16th. 2009. So then we were advocating also for the federal listing, and we got that fish listed later that year as threatened, and then we got it listed as endangered under the Endangered Species Act, the federal one. So that was in 1994 that we did that. I've been really concerned about the fate of the winter run Chinook in particular for many years, and I was introduced to the Winneman Wintu tribe in 2004 when they were doing the war dance, and was helping out with publicity for that. And it's been many years, and the since we got it listed, and the run still was not coming back like it was. Now, to get an idea, even after Shasta Dam was built, like over 20 years after Shasta Dam built, in 1969, a total of 117,000 winter run Chinook returned to the Sacramento River below Keswick Dam. I mean, even then, after the dam, there still was a population that was below the dam. And so, you know, it was a really great thing to work with the Winnemem Wintu to kind of complete what we intended to do under the endangered species listing, is get those fish back to their native rivers, the McLeod, Pitt, and other rivers. And this, you know, this was kind of coming full circle on Monday when we saw the same state and federal governments, different people representing them, that had approved the winter run listing back in the 80s to finally agree to this very necessary component of the plan to restore winter run Chinook and other salmonids to the McLeod and other rivers.
So you mentioned how, was it 20 or so years after the dam was built, there was still, you know,
1969.
Yeah, relatively healthy winter run. I mean, what's different now compared
to
back then?
The thing that happened was in 1967, the State Water Project started, and it's okay. There's two main causes of the destruction of the winter run Chinook. Number one, the building of Shasta Dam, and number two, the export regime. And there was still there was still a fishery for Winter Run Chinook back when I started writing about salmon and other fish for the Fishing Info magazine. People still fished in the winter. They guided trips, and they still caught.
And that was when in 1980s?
That was in the 1983, 84, 85, 86, until it got listed, and then created a six-month season after that. But to save the winter run, and then the spring one got listed too later. But there was what happened was in the late 80s, 88. And early 89, there was a complete crash of the Winter Run Chinook, and it was determined that less than 2,000 were left. And so there was this push by a number of groups, but Sacramento River Preservation Trust, the Tehama Fly Fishers, and then the group that I was with, the Fishing Info magazine, you know, we pushed to get those fish listed. And but in 1967, the State Water Project started, and by 1989, it had such an impact, all the water exports, that it resulted in bringing that at its worst, there was only 200 salmon left in the Sacramento River. That was the lowest year. I think that was 91 or 92. So, you know, this run's been struggling for years. And not just after, I mean, since Shasta Dam was built, but since the water exports, which took the water out of the delta that the Winter Run Chinook needed to survive. And, you know, this is where we're at right now, and the numbers are, like, right now aren't very good. Only 5,565 adults showed up last year, and then in 2021, just a little over 2%, like 2.6% of juvenile Chinooks survived on their trip down the Red Bluff. So, you know, the situation's been really bad in recent years for the Winter Run Chinook, even after the species was listed.
And that's largely water temperature and low water levels in the river itself?
Well, it's a combination of the way that they manage the water below the dams and the way that the pumps are operated. And so those Winter Run Chinook were particularly susceptible at the time that they would leave to go to the ocean, and getting sucked up into the delta pumps, just like all the other species in the delta and the rivers get sucked up into.
Yeah, haven't they had a hard time with the warm water too, because they have to essentially spawn below the dam rather than getting up into the cold water rivers?
Right. They originally went up into the spring-fed water, and you know, all the waters that go into, like, McLeod is a classic glacial melt river where the water is relatively cold, and you know, there's springs that feed the river, and so those fish could spawn, go up there and spawn in cold water. And that's why with climate change we have to get those fish back to the original streams that they spawned in, because it's going to be a lot warmer in the rivers, in the lower rivers.
Yeah, I know the Winnemem specifically, Chief Colleen Sisk has been talking about this for decades, about getting the, you know, if we want the salmon to survive, we have to get them back up above the dam in the cold water in their traditional spawning areas, and it seems like they're finally listening.
Yeah, finally. It's been it's been many decades. But I'm glad that they're finally listening and actually agreeing to these stewardship agreements.
I thought it was interesting when Chuck Bonham made a comment about to Colleen about how he could understand her apprehension of signing a document with a white man at a table.
And, yeah.
And how he said, but it's never too late to do the right thing. So
yeah.
I think it's up to us to hold Chuck to that and do the right thing throughout this project.
Right. Yeah, that's real important. But this winter run Chinook, the collapse of the winter run Chinook occurs within the context of the collapse of all the salmon runs. And this is going to be a really bad year for salmon in the valley.
Well, they've closed down the fishery, right? The salmon fishery along the California and Oregon coast?
Yep. All the way from Cape Falcon in southern, well, actually, it's not southern Oregon. I looked at the map and I realized it's almost all of Oregon,
yeah,
except for the
kind of upper central. Yeah, upper central. Yeah.
And so that's closed, and the whole California coast. So you have most of the continental West Coast closed to salmon fishing this year because of the collapse of Sacramento salmon and because of the collapse of the salmon on the Klamath River. These are fall run Chinooks. Those are the fish that are fished for. Endangered species like the spring run Chinook and on the Sacramento River and the winter run Chinook, you can no longer fish for them. So that's why there's regulations. You can only fish for them certain times a year when they're not coming through the rivers. But this is going to... let's put it this way. These are the numbers that the Pacific Fishery Management Council came up with. They predicted that a total of 198,000 fall run Chinook salmon in the Sacramento River would return to the Sacramento River last year, but only 61,850, so they're way off in their estimate, and they adjusted the fishing regulations based on that over-optimistic estimate, and many of the commercial and recreational fishermen advised them, you know, that these numbers were off. And this year, they've closed it. They've taken the cautionary route and closed the whole fishery, and this was demanded by the commercial recreational fishing groups, you know, really pushed to get this closure, which is going to really hurt a lot of people. But hey, fish, you know, the fish are really in bad shape. I mean, it's in the fishery on the Sacramento River has just been decimated in recent years because a lot of the fish are dying before spawning. And that happened on the Feather River because of the low warm conditions and the refusal of state and federal governments to abide by the laws that require that you release cold water.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened on Butte Creek, it's happened on the Trinity River, it happens on the Klamath River. But where's the hope here in this particular project with rewilding winter run Chinook above the dam? What do you see as a potential impact on the future of California fisheries?
Well, I hope they could eventually get all the different runs back to their native tributaries. You know, the fall run, and the problem right now is that the fall run Chinook is hatchery dependent, and there used to be a large natural spawning component, but that hasn't been seen in the rivers in recent years. I remember in 1985 there was like huge numbers of salmon, even as late as 2002 and 2003. The American River itself, 22 miles, had more fish spawning than the entire Sacramento River did last year. I mean, there was over 150,000 fish that just returned to one tributary. And so even from 20 years ago, these runs have really gone down. And it's because of there's three main problems. there's a whole complex of problems. But three problems are, number one, water, two, water, and three, water.
Right.
Okay, there's
right.
other stuff. There's thiamine deficiency. There's predation. There's harvest. There's other factors. But the main thing is that fish can't survive making it downstream to the ocean or back upstream to the rivers to spawn without water. And that's what we need more of. And we need to get all those fish back to their tributaries so, where they spawn since time immemorial.
So would you say the main thing that needs to happen is California and federal agencies have to drastically change California water policy?
Exactly. Because, you see, even if we get the fishways built, it's not going to help if the water is too warm for those fish to survive the journeys upstream and downstream. And
right.
so there has to, one thing that Chief Colleen Sisk constantly emphasizes is we got to make this state a salmon state. You know, one time it was a major salmon state, and now this year it's impacting the other salmon states. So that were Oregon and Washington has been impacted. It's a coastwide thing.
Yeah, it's going up the
Sacramento
coast.
Sacramento River and Klamath River salmon, they go up and down the coast. But one thing, this is going to be a tough year for a lot of people. A lot of people are going to be out of work in the fishing industry. The tribes, like the Yurok tribe, won't be able to have a commercial season. They're going to be really restricted to a small amount of fish in the rivers. And so it's going to be not just in the ocean, but there's going to be, I know the Sacramento, it hasn't been decided yet, but the Sacramento and its tributaries are likely to be all closed fishing this year. I haven't heard the update on the Klamath, but that's going to, if there is any fishing at all, it's going to be real minimal.
Well, they're going to be busy taking dams down on Klamath too. So
yeah.
So what you're saying is even recreational fishing on the Sacramento River for fall run Chinook will be closed?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, on the Sacramento,
yeah.
The Feather, the American, and probably the McCallumy, and they're going to decide on by May 17th. But they have to conform to the federal regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And the fishermen have advocated no harvest this year.
Wow. Okay. Well, we are just about out of time for this first segment. Dan, you got any parting words?
Well, I'd say that we're at a real dark time in terms of like where the fisheries are, the winter run, the spring run, and the fall run. As you know, 91% of the fish in 2001 that went up Butte Creek over 21,850. They died because PG&E wouldn't release cold water. So, you know, but there's also these great projects that are coming in now. The one that we witnessed, the Winnemem Wintu reintroduction of salmon, and then also bringing the dams down on the Klamath River.
Yeah, there's also projects on. There's a project on Battle Creek too, where they're reintroducing.
Yeah.
Some salmon back up into the spawning areas up there. So actually great to have you again, Dan.
And thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have you back on again when the topic suits.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye.
And that was investigative journalist Dan Bakker, and you are listening to 90.1 FM KZFR, People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and community radio in Northern California. For more information, visit dalampeconstruction.com. And by Mountain Sports, for over 45 years, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and 11 to 4 on Sundays at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico. And our next guest is going to be Regina Chiquizola of Save California Salmon. And I am going to play a song by Dana Lyons called A Drop of Water while I get her on the phone.
This song is about a no-compromise kind of guy. Like it's been said many times this week, the Native Americans are the original environmentalists, and Milton Born with a Tooth is certainly one of them. I'd like to dedicate this to Milton Born with a Tooth and all the other warriors out there, no matter who they are, who will take a bulldozer to a dam or wherever it needs to be taken to. For years, I was accused of being against bulldozers, but Milton Born the Tooth told me that there are good uses for bulldozers. There's a drop of water on the wall, and the drop's about to fall. Falls into a trickle, and the trickle's flowing down, down, down to the ground, and the moss begins to grow. Watch, 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 watch the water flow, and watch the ghost become a stream, busting through the seams, cracking through the concrete, bending down the steel. In a raging that is real, a tearing torrent you can feel the thunder growing, thunder underground. My heart, the chains falling apart, the wildness in my soul. And for once in life, I know I'm not alone. Cause the mountains make our bones, with the oceans in our blood, our feet planted firmly in the mud. We are alive, a burning embers in our eyes, the tingling touch upon our skin. And in the heat of passion, we begin to understand that we are of this land, that we are part of Earth. And when it's threatened, we will fight for all we're worth. We watch the dam crashing down, rushing to the sea. Thank you.
magic of this sky island, Mount Graham, a sacred mountain, no matter where you come from. Feel the power of this mountain, walking the same ground as the greatest warriors, the greatest chiefs of the Apache Nation. And perhaps this week, we have learned a little bit from Mount Graham, a little bit, and we can take that, we can walk, the day comes crashing down, watch the rhythm, run, free, river run, free.
And that was Dana Lyons with Drop of Water. And I have on the line with me now Regina Chiquizola from Save California Salmon. You there, Regina?
Yes, I am.
Great to have you back on the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Thanks for having me.
I think it was about maybe this time last year was when I had you on the show last. I wanted to talk about the Klamath Dam removal and your work with Northern California tribes with Save California Salmon. Maybe you could start by just letting our listeners know a little bit about Save California Salmon.
Yeah, I'd love to. So Save California Salmon is an environmental group that is tribally led. And youth-led, and we work in watersheds all over Northern California to try to save the salmon. And then also we work a lot on education. So we work on water policy, land return, getting salmon back to where they haven't been in a while, and then also making sure there's a good fishable and harvestable surplus of salmon for tribes and fishermen and people like that. And then we also work a lot in schools and on education. We have a curriculum called that's about traditional ecological knowledge, science, and management. We're currently doing classes on restoration that's led by tribes on Wednesdays. And we also have another curriculum that's on water protection. And we work a lot in schools in Siskiyou County, Del Norte County, Humboldt County. And we do work with some local tribes in your area, too, and I'm so glad that you're talking about all the monumentous things that are happening in the area. We're just about, making sure that local peoples and local voices are heard and that we can restore this natural world in a way that can provide for the people of the world again.
Yeah, you were a big connection with us with Run for Salmon
The salmon run on the Klamath?
Yeah, no, the Run for Salmon, Shingle Springs, when they paddled with us last year on the Sacramento River.
Yeah, and we also helped start the Trinity Leg, because there's a salmon run on that's on the Klamath in Trinity too. But the Trinity, as you know, is diverted into the Sacramento River for agriculture. So, yeah, it's really exciting that now that we've been able to support the Salmon Run on the Klamath, the Salmon Run on the Trinity leg of the Run for Salmon, and now some of the Delta parts of the Run for Salmon with different tribes.
Yeah.
Such inspiring work that's happening all over the place.
Yeah, Run for Salmon's coming up July.
Yeah, the Klamath Salmon Run is in about a week and a half.
Oh, great. Yeah, speaking of the Klamath, how has Save California Salmon been involved with the Klamath Dam Removal Project?
Well, you know, the Klamath Dam Removal and the work being done on the Klamath River is what inspired Save California Salmon to be formed. We were actually originally called Save the Klamath and Trinity Salmon. And as we started working on taking dams down on the Eel River and with Winnemowintu Tribe on the Shasta, we decided to become Save California Salmon. But I personally have been working on Klamath Dam Removal for 20 years with the local tribes here, the Karuk Tribe, the Hoopa Valley Tribe, the Yurok Tribe. And then Save California Salmon has been working on Klamath Dam Removal since 2016, 2017. And as you know, it's been a long road. We first started working on this in 2003 and 2004. When it was owned by Scottish Power, and then they sold to Warren Buffett, who was at the time the richest man in the world, in Pacific Corps, or Pacific Corps was sold to Warren Buffett. And we've had plans to take down the dam several different times, but it wasn't until 2 years ago when Pacific Corps almost pulled out a dam removal that we were actually able to get an agreement that worked.
Yeah, I remember reading about that, how it almost, the whole deal almost completely fell apart there.
Yeah, and, you know, I would like to mention one of the things that has really helped the movement for Klamath Dam Removal. I mean, every tool was used. We had the best science. The tribes had the best scientists. We had, you know, legal teams. But mainly it was a movement from the people. You know, the people, the native people, especially on the river, you know, they went to shareholders meetings every year, put the pressure on Warren Buffett. They went to Pacific Corps meetings. They went to water board meetings, or I guess we went to water board meetings, and we just made sure that they knew it was either the dams were coming out or we were never going to stop bothering Pacific Corps. And so the tribes were so great about getting Berkshire Hathaway and Pacific Corps in the room when Pacific Corps did try to pull out of the deal. And then they were able to get them in the room and get them on the river and talk to them, but when they got Pacific Corps in the river, we actually blocked the river with fishing boats. And, you know, we had a giant day of action where 50,000 people participated online, and there were actions in 11 cities during COVID. And I'm sure some of your listeners probably helped sign petitions and do phone calls during that. And I just feel like
I remember spreading,
you know, it was a movement from the people, and I thank everyone who helped.
Yeah, I remember spreading the word about that, the petitions and everything that were going around. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the impacts that the dams had on tribes and salmon and you know, why remove them? Why is this such a big deal?
Well, the Klamath dams, they block over 400 miles of really good high-quality habitat. And that habitat is spring-fed. It's cold water that is spring-fed, whereas a lot of our the lower part of the river is more of a snowmelt-dependent watershed. So they're really needed to come out in a lot of ways, but one of them is because the dams block the salmon and all that habitat. But also the dams create these water quality conditions that are just toxic to both humans and fish. It creates like massive toxic algae blooms that have been many of hundreds, sometimes thousand times what is safe for human contact. They also spread fish diseases because a polychaete worm is able to grow right below them because there's no fluxation in like how the flows come down. And anyway, so salmon get stuck at the dams, and then they also get very sick from this polychaete worm that spreads a fish disease. The dams also cause warm water condition that can kill the fish off also. And so through losing these fish, the impacts have been so great in the community here. I live on the Klamath River, and you can tell a good fish here because everyone's really happy. They're eating well. They're out on the rivers all the time. It would be hard to overstate what salmon means to the local communities in the lower Klamath. And what not having them in years like this, which is like, this is a devastatingly bad year for the Klamath and Sacramento systems. And so people aren't going to have much of a food source, and we're located extremely rurally. So not having salmon as a food source when you have to go so far to town, especially at the cost that we are dealing with right now, means that people have to eat really unhealthy foods. Kids are not on the river as much. Families are not together as much. So it's a really huge impact on the people down here. But above the Klamath dams, the Klamath tribes in Oregon and some of the tribes up that way, they haven't had salmon for over 100 years. So these dams coming back are going to bring back a part of their diet and their culture that they've really been missing. And that's one of the reasons they fought so hard up that way.
Yeah. Yeah. We're pretty hopeful with this reintroductory program of with the winter run Chinook on the McLeod. I mean, it's going to take a long time, but maybe the Winnemem grandbabies will be able to have salmon on a regular basis again at some point.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the cool things about the Klamath dam removal is they're starting to come down this summer, and hopefully they'll be completely down within about 14 months. And then we'll have a couple of years where there'll be like some weird fluctuations with the river and some sediment coming down. I mean, they're drawing them down very slowly, taking them down very carefully. So we're thinking there'll be very minimal impacts, but
yeah, these are all
probably take like 4 years to start recovering is what we're expecting.
Yeah, these are all power dams, correct? They're not holding reservoirs.
I mean, they're large reservoirs, but they're large reservoirs just for power. They're not used for diversions. They're just used for turbines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if what happened on the Elwha River up in Washington serves as any example as to how quickly salmon will return to a river when a dam gets taken down. Salmon came back the very next year on that river. I don't know if you've mm-hmm. read much about what happened with that, saw what happened with that dam removal up in Washington. But that was huge. And yeah, you just said that you were there March 10th at the groundbreaking. I think I saw you had posted something about that.
Yeah, we weren't actually there that day. We had a conflicting event, but we've been there quite a lot with elementary and high school kids over the last few weeks. We're mm-hmm. doing field trips for Klamath River schools right now, so local communities can be part of the dam removal and see the dams before and after they come out.
Wow, that would be pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, it's so exciting to see the kids that were a little... I mean, Siskiyou County is not the most liberal county in the world, to see kids that were not really sure what they thought about dam removal learn about it and get excited has been really amazing.
Yeah. So what is the timeline? They've started on the first one already, right? And there's four scheduled to come down in the next year?
They're actually, they're building some of the road system that needs to happen. The roads are not great to the middle dams. So they're actually working on road systems. They're working on prep work. They're moving the hatchery and making it much smaller so that it's just a hatchery that's used for a reintroduction of native fish. So those are the things they're doing right now. They begin to bring down Copco this summer, which is one of the middle dams. And the reason they can do it during the summer is there's not much water in that reach because it's used for peaking. And then the larger dams will come out next winter, and the reason they're doing that is so the sediment will flush out with the high water. So there'll be like drawdown next winter, and then after drawdown, the reservoirs will fill up a little next spring, and they'll start taking the dams down, the three bigger dams down next spring. So it's starting. It's going to take a little over a year altogether, though.
That, and that's just for the first few, right? Isn't how many dams total are coming down?
No, that's for all four.
Oh, for all four. Yeah, so it's four total dams that are coming down.
Yeah, just one of them coming out now, and then they're doing they're drawing down the other three during next winter, and then starting to take them down after the drawdown.
Wow, crazy. I'd like to take a field trip up there myself. And is there a way that you know, anybody can pretty much drive up there and at least kind of see from some vantage point of what's going on?
I think at this point, because it is becoming a construction site, the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, who now owns the dams, you have to contact them and set up a tour, pretty much.
Hmm.
Like in our situation, we got permission for our schools to come. We had to let them know what days and what our safety measures are and things of that nature. And we're one of the dams where they're not working right now. So, unfortunately, it's not like a open situation, but they are identifying what parts of the reservoirs will be open in the meanwhile, and where people can get site access. But for reporters and you know, local communities, they're trying to figure out a system to make sure that we can still get in and see the process. But we have to be careful. It's an active construction zone with dozers and a lot of trucks and things like that. So it's not really, it can't be necessarily completely open while the dams are coming down.
Right. So we've got a few minutes left here. I always like to leave our listeners with some kind of hope with when I talk to our guests here. And so where's the hope with this, you know, with a struggling salmon fishery all along the California and Oregon coast? I mean, they're closed this year. The salmon fisheries are closed.
Yeah, and subsistence fishing is also closed, mainly for tribal members.
So can the removal of these dams, you know, what kind of impact are they going to have on the future of the salmon's health?
Well, it's going to open up more than twice as much of the habitat there is right now. It's going to make the water much colder. It's going to allow the fish to get to nicer areas. And we really expect it to restore the fish in a big way, the way it is in Elwha, where they actually have a coho fishery this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the hope is definitely there that this is the largest river restoration in the history of the world. There's no big towns or industries really above the dams. I mean, there's ag, but that's it. So I think there's a lot of hope. And then the other thing I would say as far as hope goes is within our education work, it's just amazing, the tribal youth nowadays. They are so smart. All the youth are really smart. They're willing to fight for the environment. They're willing to fight for land return. You know, they want a better future, and they're working towards it. And removing dams on this level is part of it. And, you know, the Eel River is going to be next, and we're going to try to get some PG&E dams out in your area.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that we're going to be able to get some major wins, and I really hope people can join us in some of the actions we're taking to make that happen.
Yeah, hopefully we can get the PG&E project shut down on the McLeod and Pitt Rivers.
Yeah, hopefully. They've been less helpful on that than they've been in some of the other river systems, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I think NOAA Fishery seems to be pretty hopeful of you know, stopping the relicensing process because of we're putting fish back up in the river. So that could throw a whole different legal block in the process of relicensing that facility up there.
That's what happened here. They decided the salmon needed fish ladders, and then it was not economical to keep the dams in place anymore, especially with all the people organizing around dam removal.
So that'll be great. We shall see. What other kind of hopeful projects are you working on with California Salmon right now? Save California Salmon.
Yeah, we just had a big land return conference that was about how the state's climate planning and 30 by 30 process. And some of the local tribes in your area, the Michupta tribe, for instance, was there when Mwintu was there. So, we're working on preserving lands, getting fire back on the ground. That's mm-hmm. critically important in some of these areas where we've been suppressing fires and not letting cultural fire happen. We're doing a big day of action, which the Winnemowintu tribe is part of. That will happen in July. We encourage people to follow us, Save California Salmon, on Facebook, California Rivers on Instagram, California Salmon, on other social media and our website. But, and there's really cool coalitions happening, you know, all the way from Stockton, with commercial fishermen, with tribes, and people are really working hard to restore whole watersheds the way we are in Klamath all over the state. And I am hopeful that because the tribes are so powerful and the people really want it, that if we all work together and push for this restoration and push for water for salmon, that we can get it. Because truthfully, most people care more about salmon than making sure almond exporters can make money. It's just we need to shine a light on what's happening and make sure people know that they have power and that they can make these things happen. Luckily, our youth seem to get it.
Yeah, and that's why Run for Salmon has been really important. It's been important in my life. It's educated me a lot, and I know it's educated a lot of other people. And, thank you so much, Regina, for coming on. We are pretty much out of time. Unless you have anything else you want to say, how can people? You said Facebook. What is it? SaveCaliforniaSalmon.org is your website.
It's CaliforniaSalmon.org.
Okay.
And we have restoration, Fixing the World Restoration Series classes most weeks. We have raft trips all the time. We'll be on the run for salmon. Hopefully we'll be. And we have a YouTube page that has all of our past lessons. And a lot of our recordings on it. And the curriculum is at californiasalmon.org, and it's totally free for anyone. So, people should keep in touch.
Great. Thank you so much, Regina. And, we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, and hopefully the dams will be out by then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I want to try to get up there and maybe get a press pass or something and go see what's going on up there.
Anyways, for sure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Regina, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And that was Regina Chiquizola from Save California Salmon. You have been listening to your monthly North State Water Report with me, Ron Topi. And stay tuned now for Planetary Radio.
Join us on an adventure to the 2023 Planetary Defense Conference, this week on Planetary Radio. I'm Sarah Al-Ahmed of the Planetary Society, with more of the human adventure across our solar system and beyond. The Planetary Defense Conference took place in Vienna, Austria last month. Matt Kaplan, the Planetary Society's Senior Communications Advisor, will share a look behind the scenes at the conference and what it means for the future of planetary defense. Then Bruce Betts, our Chief Scientist, will update you on the upcoming night sky and the Eta Aquarid meteor shower. Now it's time for some space news. Unfortunately, the Japanese ispace lunar lander is presumed to have crashed.